Chapter 49, Lacking in Verve. As previously stated, here I sit on bench in square cum park beside station in seaside town. Through trees, the sea. Me, surrounded by squatting children playing in the dirt. When I notice beside me on bench, a companion has appeared, wearing trench coat with collar turned up, sporting round glasses and unruly hair. He is sitting on his hands and rocking back and forth as if deep in thought, or in his mind, walking through the paces of some nagging dilemma with elusive solution. He turns and, seeing me, observing him, stops rocking to give me a knowing smile. "Don't mind me," he says. "I was busy compiling something in my head." "Understand entirely," I reply. I also often indulge in endless sessions of getting to know myself. To little avail, I might add. "Well, keep at it, my friend," he quips. "What else are you going to do?" He chuckles, a wheezing kind of laugh, the sound of a hand sanding a piece of wood, or a leather sole scuffing a step. "Well, here we sit," he continues, taking cigarette from behind ear. "The big bad old world, so full of the predictable and unforeseen, the unknowable and the only too well known. This is your show, honey. Play your hand. Push out your little boat, come what may. What else can you do? I mean, what choice have you got? You don't get to step off the merry-go-round and then back on again on a different horse." I ponder that. In a fairground, I am not. Where the horse comes from, I do not know. However, I am tempted to sketch out for him some of my background. You've heard it before, I know, as he does appear to me to be of a sympathetic nature and inclined to listen. But as I am about to speak, I don't, as suddenly he gives me a look as if to say, "Oh, don't start on that, please. No regret and self-pity above all." So I bite my tongue, feeling chastised, and then realize, judging by his eyes, and to my surprise, that perhaps my tale is lacking in verve, which could be read as wallowing.